Good to have you guys here this morning. Hope you're doing well. And just want to reiterate that many times we don't say it, but I want to just say it if you haven't already heard it or know. But so many different ways to give. And want to encourage you to give. I know that you can do it with the box that's back there. You can do it online. For y'all that are watching online, that is the easiest way. Or you can just bring it to the church. But just know there's so many different ways. And then, but also giving of yourself and time is also important. So I always want to just share that with you and make sure you guys are aware. But it's good to have you this morning. I hope you're doing well. Now, listen, we are coming to the end of 1 Thessalonians. Can you believe it? So this is our last message in this this book. And then we're going to take a couple weeks off as we do Palm Sunday and then into Easter. And then we're going to come back in about 3 weeks. And we're going to start 2 Thessalonians and walk through the rest of the letters to the church in Thessalonica. I hope you've been encouraged as we walk through 1 Thessalonians. I know I have such an incredible book. If you remember, as we began this study, Paul really talking a lot to that church. One, encouraging them, commending them on their faith. Their faith had been recognized in areas all around because of their desire and passion for the Lord. So there's great encouragement to them. Also, Paul clarifying some misunderstanding about the coming of the Lord when Jesus will come back. And so if you read it, it talks a lot about what that will look like when Jesus comes and the dead in Christ shall rise and those that are alive will meet them in the air. So clarifying to the church there that even their loved ones that are believers that have passed on will also be a part of this reunion when Jesus comes back. Now we come to the end of the letter. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 23. We're just going to finish out the rest of this chapter. We get to this part. It's really a benediction. It's a prayer that Paul is giving to the church. But in this prayer, there are many things that we can pull from and draw from, some challenges for us and some encouragements for us. Now, I don't know about you guys, but my parents are wonderful. They're probably watching this morning, wherever they are today. They've been traveling. But I love them. They're wonderful. My parents also were they like discipline. You know, they wanted to make sure that we were doing the right thing, as I hope all parents do that. And, you know, and as a kid, I didn't do everything right all the time. I know that's a shocker, but I didn't do everything right all the time. My kids have kind of followed suit in that, but they always made sure that we knew right from wrong and all those kind of things. So it was never, you know, it was always kind of out there. If I did something that I wasn't supposed to do, that there would be some kind of discipline, some kind of punishment, right? So my mom, don't get me wrong, my mom could take care of business. She was pretty good at it, and I know that for a fact. But the words that brought a little bit of anxiety in my life, and maybe you've heard these words too, were these words right here. Just wait till your dad gets home. How many of you guys have heard that? Yeah, growing up, or you've said that? Anybody? There you go. Listen, those were pretty strong words, and typically they came when I did something fairly not good. So I did hear those quite a few times. But not always was it like that. There were times where my mom would say, "Let's wait. I can't wait till your dad gets home." And there was going to be some kind of joyous time. Listen, it was always fun when I saw my dad, but there'd be a joyous celebration. Maybe there was some kind of achievement that we achieved in school. And so she was like, "Wait till your dad gets home. It's going to be a great time. He's going to be so happy and celebrate." Listen, there's both those emotions many times when that phrase came out, you know, "Can't wait till your dad comes home." Can I tell you, in the world today, there's going to be both dread and joy when Jesus comes. Listen, Jesus is going to come again. We know that from Scripture. And Paul has told the church in Thessalonica, be ready. Be prepared. Jesus is coming. Just wait till He comes. It's going to be a glorious time, an amazing time, a reunion like no other. But know this for sure, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Because listen, there's either going to be dread on that day or there's going to be joy on that day. And for the believer, I pray that all of us in here are going to experience joy like never before when we see Jesus come again. So as we close out this passage and close out 1 Thessalonians, there are two things I want to pick up on these last few verses that I believe Paul is telling us and telling the church that we need to focus in on until he comes. All right, 1 Thessalonians, let's get to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, go ahead and have your Bibles open. Chapter 5, starting in verse 23. If you are able, would you stand as we read God's Word today? This is what God's Word says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that's in your word. And our prayer is that the Holy Spirit would move and work in this place, transforming us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, we're going to focus in really on those first couple of verses, 23 and 24. I would go farther, but listen, we have teenagers in here, and whenever you say brotherly kiss, you never know what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to focus in on 20, no offense, guys, really, no offense. But 23 and 24, as we talk about what are we called to do, what are we supposed to be doing until he comes. So let's look at verse 23 as we start this out. And I just want to encourage you today, as Paul encourages us, until he comes, we must live set apart for him wholly. Now listen, that word holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. All right, so what do we do until he comes? Well, we live set apart for him wholly. Let's go back to verse 23 and let's point out a few things that I believe God's Word is telling us. It says this, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all through 1 Thessalonians, many times Paul talks about this idea of being set apart. Now, it may be the word sanctification, sanctify, holy, make holy. Those are the words that all kind of tied in together to the original word that we find here for sanctification or sanctify. Matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, he says, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Then in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, it says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. And then in verse 7, it says, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. So all through this letter, Paul is encouraging, really challenging the church of Thessalonica to live a life that is set apart for God. Matter of fact, if you were to come up with a purpose for God's children, it is really to live set apart for him in a way that would glorify him as you reach the world for him. Listen, there was a great desire from Paul, but also for our Lord, that we would live a life set apart. And what does that mean, set apart? Set apart from really the evil of this world. That's really what he's saying, to be different than what's out there. And can I just say and encourage you, we talk about this a lot, but the world needs to see a difference. They need to see believers different, living differently, acting differently, not obnoxiously, but different than the rest of the world. Because listen, if we're living just like the rest of the world, if we're involved in everything that's a part of this world, doing everything and saying and speaking in the way that this world is, then why would anybody want Jesus? Because they're doing just fine on their own. So listen, we need to make sure that we live a life set apart for Jesus. Now, when we talk about sanctification, now this is an interesting word, and you might be thinking, what does this mean for us practically today? So there's three, and I may have said this the last time we talked about holiness or sanctification, there's really three ways that this word sanctification is used in Scripture. One is this idea of positional sanctification. It's used in that regard, which just simply means that when you were saved, rescued, and redeemed, you were made righteous through the blood of Jesus. So in Jesus' name, we are made holy. That is positional sanctification. That doesn't change. What Jesus has done in your life, that is true. He's changed your life. He's redeemed you. He's rescued you. So this is positional sanctification, this holiness that comes through the salvation. The second one, and this is where Paul targets a lot in really in all his books, but especially in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, he talks about a sanctification that is progressive, like a progressive sanctification. So what that looks like is this, that Jesus rescued you, He's redeemed you, He saved you. We say that, but listen, what that means is that you've been changed forever through this relationship you have with Jesus. But that doesn't mean you stay right where you're at. So just accepting Jesus Christ in your heart is a wonderful, amazing thing. Set your life up eternally, forever. But God has called us to live out our faith. And God has called us to be more and more and more like Jesus. So this progressive sanctification is this process of living this life that we have, allowing the Lord to work on us, mold us, shape us. This is the hard part of living out the faith in the Christian life, because there's going to be things that He chisels away at in your life and in your heart that doesn't need to be there because it's not glorifying to God, and it can be painful, it can be hurtful. But listen, this is all a part of Him making us holy, this sanctification process until we see Jesus face to face. So listen, there's a positional sanctification, there is a progressive, but also we have this perfect sanctification, which comes when we see Jesus face to face. We'll be made perfect. And man, that will be a glorious day, amen? That's going to be awesome. But until then, Paul wants the church, and listen, God wants us as the church to begin focusing in on this progressive sanctification. How do we become more and more like Jesus? Because let's face it, if you're not drawing closer to the Lord, then you're falling away from the Lord. We may like to think that we can kind of sit on the fence, but in our Christian faith, we're either growing or going to Jesus, or we're kind of falling back a little bit in our relationship. And we can get into a rut and we can get comfortable and there's no growth there. Listen, God desires for us to grow and become more and more like Him every single day. That's really why we have church and we equip and are equipped, and we have Bible study and life groups. We live life together. We have accountability partners. All these things that we do in life, studying Scripture and praying, all of this is helping us grow and be more like Jesus every day. That's that progressive sanctification. So listen, this is what we find in this passage, that until He comes, we are charged with this progressive sanctification, being more and more like Him, to live set apart with Him and for Him wholly. So what does that look like? I have two really things that I want to talk about with this. Look at this passage again, verse 23. It says, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." If you have your pencil or pen, underline that. Underline completely, and underline, "may your whole spirit and soul and body." Listen, one of the things that we need to understand of this idea of being living set apart for Him wholly is that Jesus wants all of us. He wants every part of us living for Him. It's one thing to just have an aspect of our life that we're trying to be better at in our Christian faith. Maybe that's church attendance. Listen, that's fine. That's great. But what about at the very core of your heart? What does it look like when nobody else is looking? When you're at home by yourself, what does your life look like? Listen, God doesn't just want Sundays and Wednesdays. He wants every day of your life. He wants you to pursue Him and pursue holiness every single day with everything that you have, every aspect of your life, not just a little holiness, but all holiness in your life. You know, it's easy for us to say sometimes, well, I'm not as bad as somebody else. I may not be perfect, but I'm doing better than so-and-so. Listen, God just wants you to give Him all of you. And so as we talk about this living set out, the first thing I want to encourage you with is this. Commit to the process. Commit to the process. And what I mean by that is this. You understand, as a believer, what it takes in your life to become more and more like Him. And maybe, just maybe, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. And now, right now, maybe you're thinking of things in your life that's keeping you from growing in your relationship. And you realize, you know, maybe I need to give that over to the Lord. Maybe I need to begin thinking about how I can live set apart for Him completely and wholly, not just parts of my life, not just on these days, but with everything that I have and everything that I am. Listen, that is a commitment that you make. And listen, let's stop there and just say this. Maybe the first commitment for some of you in here is for you to come to know Jesus. Because in order for you to become more and more like Jesus, you need to know Jesus. And maybe you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life. You've never recognized that Jesus died on the cross for you, shedding His blood for the forgiveness of sin, the perfect lamb sacrifice, or had to be a sacrifice to take away sin. Jesus became that perfect sacrifice. He died on the cross, taking your sin with Him as He died. And then He was buried. And then 3 days later, He rose again. He's alive today. Listen, here's what Scripture tells us, that if we believe in Him and trust in Him, we ask Him to rescue us and to save us, we repent and turn our life and follow after Him, we are forgiven of our sins and we have life everlasting in Him. Listen, that's the first step of being committed in this process. Automatically, that positional sanctification takes place by the blood of Jesus. You are made righteous in Him. Then the fun begins. Walking every day with Him, learning and being committed to Him. Listen, that takes a commitment. So don't get me wrong, your salvation is free. It's a gift from God. His grace. But now as you begin to walk with Him, He has called us to live a life that glorifies Him. So I want to encourage you, commit to the process. That's the first thing. Commit. Say, Jesus, today I'm going to live for You. Today I'm going to do all that I can to glorify You with my thoughts and my actions. I want to live You body, soul, spirit. I want it all given to You. I'm committing to this. But listen, but that is not enough. That's the first step. Commit to the process. But can I tell you this? He provides the power. So that's what we find in this scripture. He provides the power. Here's what it says. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you. And what I love too, underline this, He says this, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless. Listen, what we read in 1 Thessalonians is the fact that, yeah, we have a job to do. We are to commit and to live out our faith for Jesus, but we cannot do it without the power of God in our life. You might be sitting here thinking, Craig, I want to be a better Christian, but man, I'm not doing a very good job. Listen, Jesus can do it in you. God, through His power, can work and move in your life. He can accomplish what He started in your life. He can work and move in a powerful way in your life. Listen, He provides the power. Paul makes, there's no confusion here for Paul. I mean, let's face it, he talks about being joyful. He talks about praying. He talks about all these things in this letter, but he comes back to, now may the God of peace Himself, because he recognizes that it's the power of the Holy Spirit working and moving in us that changes us. I think this is amazing, because listen, this is something we definitely can't do. If you look at this idea, be kept blameless. This word kept is really, and you put it together, kept blameless, is really being unharmed or undisturbed. It carries this picture of to guard, to keep. So this is God working in us to keep us, to keep us where we need to be. Listen, that is the power of God. Listen to what Scripture says. 1 John 5:18, the one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. John 17:11, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. 1 Corinthians 1 in chapter 8, he will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless. Listen, it's God's power that keeps us in the direction we need to go. Listen, there is a commitment. I want to encourage you to commit. This is not work salvation or anything like that. It's just us making a commitment to live for Jesus. But then when we commit, we lean in on the power of God in our life. And He is working to keep us living separate and set apart from the world. All right, well, let's look at this other part of this passage. So look at verse 24. It says this, He who calls you is faithful, He will surely do it. I love this verse. So let's put this together and say, until He comes, we must learn to trust in Him completely. Well, what I believe Paul is saying, listen, we need to live set apart. No doubt we need to live set apart until He comes. But until He comes, may we learn to trust Him completely with all that we have and all that we are. Until He comes again, may we have a faith that He will carry everything out to completion. May we trust Him with everything that we have. Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, He is faithful. God's Word tells us He is faithful. And so we need to learn to trust Him completely with everything that we have. So I want to ask you a question, and this really is the question that has been kind of rolling in my head and my heart as I was kind of studying for this and reading through some Scripture. And it's just a simple question that I want to just throw out to you guys. When I think about learning to trust Him, you know, here's what it says. It says, He is faithful, He will do it. So really the question that I want to ask you is, do you believe He can? I mean, do you believe that He can? This will change how you live your life. It'll change how you interact with people. It changes in the steps that you take in calling in life. Do you believe He can? You know, for context, it says that Paul's saying, our God is going to keep you blameless until Jesus comes. He's going to protect you. He's going to keep you living that life that you need to live until Jesus comes. Listen, that is a promise from God. But let's take this even in a different direction and say, there's hurt in your family that desperately needs reconciliation. Or there's a relationship that is broken that needs to be mended. Or maybe there is a struggle with an illness that's been a part of your life and you are struggling with it today, or you're hurting from some other aspects of your life. Then we ask the question, do you believe God can? I believe God can. I believe He can. I believe He can heal. I believe He can strengthen. I believe He can restore. I believe He can call. I believe He can use. I believe He can do all these things because our God is faithful. So Paul's just telling them, listen, Jesus is going to come. Hang on. Live out your faith as hard as it may get. Live out your faith. Be set apart. Learn to trust Him completely with every aspect of your life. I love Lamentations chapter 3. It says this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So I want to throw out a few things for us today when we talk about trusting in Him. Listen, He is faithful. I believe He is faithful. I believe God's Word declares Him to be faithful. He is faithful. But what do we do to trust Him more in that? Because it's one thing just to say it. It's one thing to say, I know that Jesus is faithful. I know that He loves me. I know He cares. It's another thing to live our life based on that faithfulness, to trust Him with everything that we have. So how do we build up that trust? So I want to leave you with three things that I believe can help grow trust in your life. It will help grow trust in my life as we continue to walk through this life until we see Jesus face to face. And the first one is this: regular repentance. Regular repentance. Now, listen, repentance is an interesting word because we don't talk about it a lot. Churches don't really talk about it very much. But I believe salvation, that this the idea and truth of salvation that God rescues us, there's a part of this that repentance is essential. It is. I believe it's so important, but we don't talk about it enough. You know, we ask God to forgive us, and that's glorious and amazing, and God's faithful to forgive us, Scripture says. But we're called also to turn and follow Him. We're to turn our life and give it to Him. And this repentance takes away, it really is more than any kind of emotion. It is a decision that we make before the Lord. God, forgive me. I have sin in my life. I'm handing it over to You. I'm turning my life, and I'm handing it to You, and I'm following after You. We don't talk about that enough. But can I just say that many times we go through motions every day, and maybe every morning you will say, God, forgive me. We kind of do that, and it becomes almost a natural pattern. I would even say regular repentance is important. For instance, in the mornings, because listen, all of us are imperfect, but in the mornings, we're before God, and we just say, God, I've messed up. I've committed a sin. I've sinned in my life. Maybe I've said the wrong thing. I've hurt someone, whatever that may be. And you ask for that forgiveness. But listen, it's even more than that. It has to be more than just a lip service. It has to be commitment. And so for us to say, God, forgive me today, I'm turning my life. Today, my life is Yours. I want to turn and follow You. I want to give You everything. I hand it over to You. I want to turn away from sin, and I want to fill You in my life. I want everything that You have in my life. You see, it's a turning away from the sin and the evilness and all that stuff, but it's filling yourself up with who Jesus is and who He is. It's a turning. And so when I talk about a regular repentance, what I mean is this, is that why don't you daily just say, today, God, forgive me. Today is Your day. I'm turning away from all that was over here, and I'm giving You my life. You know, there is nothing wrong with every day turning back to Jesus. We need Him every day. We need all of Him in our life every day. And you know what? He wants all of us. So regular repentance is key, but also a proper perspective. Proper perspective. And I talk about perspective a lot because I think sometimes we forget this. Because in the middle of hardship, because listen, we can only see so far. We can only see around us if we're living in the midst of an illness, if we're living in the midst of problems within family, school, job, whatever it may be, we see only what's around us. But listen, God knows all. And so we talk about proper perspective. What I'm saying is this, is that we need to recognize who God is, what He has done in the past, what He's doing in the present, what He will do in the future, recognizing and reading the promises of God, understanding where God has worked in our past and where we know that He will work, and it changes our perspective of what's happening around us at the time. And I believe that when we begin to get the proper perspective on life and that God is real and that God is working, why? Because He's always worked. And He will always work because He never changes. So we change our perspective to His. We look through the eyes of God's Word, and we see what who He is and what He's doing and how He's worked, and it changes our perspective and our current problems. And so I believe as we begin to change that perspective and have a proper perspective, a biblical worldview with everything that we do, we begin to learn just how faithful God is. And if you can look at a situation and you can see it through the lens of God and God's Word and see that He is big, then you're going to begin understanding just how faithful He is, and that trust begins to grow. Distant communication. There's nothing greater in building a relationship, building trust, than consistent communication. 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul said this earlier in this chapter, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Listen, we are called to be set apart. We are called to trust in Him completely until Jesus comes again. There is no greater method of staying connected than through prayer. And as we consistently communicate with God, as we consistently listen for His voice and for His leading, listen, we grow, we are challenged, we are encouraged, and we understand just how faithful He is, and we trust Him even more. So consistent communication. Stay connected with Jesus. Never let Him go. Continue to talk with Him and meet with Him. I love it when Paul says, pray without ceasing. It means that you're always in a spirit of prayer. Wanting Him to work and move, communicating with Him throughout the day. An attitude of prayer in your life. Knowing that line is open every day, all the time. Listen, as we consistently communicate, then what happens is our trust grows. The more you talk to someone, the relationship you have grows. The more you get to know someone, that relationship grows. The more you communicate and spend time with God, the more your trust in Him grows. So listen, I want to encourage you today. In the same way that Paul encouraged the church in Thessalonica, He's coming. Jesus is coming. I hope you're ready. I'm ready. And Paul is saying, listen, until He comes, may you continue to live set apart for Him. Until He comes, trust in Him completely with everything that you have. Let Him move and work in your life. Never stop living out your faith in Him until He comes. That day when we see Jesus face to face, when He comes again, either there's going to be great joy or there's going to be great dread. My prayer for us, Hampton First Baptist Church, believers, is that it's going to be a joyous reunion when we see Him face to face. And we're going to be doing exactly what He's called us to do when we see Him.